ABC Radio Australia.
Now, as Australia prepares to start COVID-19 inoculations after the arrival of the country's first vaccines, far to the northeast, the Marshall Islands has already made great strides in its vaccine rollout. It was the first independent nation to begin vaccinating its citizens back in December and is far ahead of more developed and wealthier countries in terms of the percentage of people covered. For an update on the progress of its vaccination program, I'm joined now by Marshall Islands Health Secretary Jack Niedenthal. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Jordan.
Jack, just how many people have now been vaccinated? What's the percentage of the population that's protected now?
Well, we've vaccinated about 8,000 people here in both Majuro and Ibai, and we're already into the second doses. Those were for first doses. And the second dose, we're almost up to 1,700 people. And we've been, like you said, we've been doing that since late December. And we're using the Moderna vaccine, which is two doses, 28 days apart. So, and we're now going house to house. Anyone over 18 who wants a vaccine can get it. And it's been we've been really successful so far. It's been really well received by the community. So we're really proud of what our public health people have been able to do on the ground.
Where has the vaccination effort been focused on so far? Is it more urban areas at the moment as opposed to remote places?
Correct. We haven't gone to the Outer Islands yet. We want to protect our urban centers in Majuro and Ibai. We've protected about somewhere between 28% and 30% of our adult population so far, which is pretty good because you can only vaccinate 18 and above. So we're focusing on our urban centers. We've gone through most of our urban center here in Majuro. We're kind of, there's outer lying places in the atoll, that communities that are further down the road, so to speak. And so we're now moving into that area. We've got six teams, anywhere from six to seven teams every day out there vaccinating. We've set up two other points of delivery. We call them pods, where people can come in if they're 18 and over and get a vaccine if they want.
And when you foresee really being able to vaccinate the majority of those more outer remote communities?
Well, what we're really hoping for is, as you may know, there's a new vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, that's a single-dose vaccine. We're hoping the FDA approves that very soon, because for us to do the Outer Islands with two doses is not only logistically very, very hard to do, but it's also going to be very expensive. So we'd rather wait until we have a single-dose vaccine to start vaccinating on the Outer Islands. We've already been talking to the CDC about if those vaccines do get approved, emergency approval by the FDA, that they could send us some of those. And we've had really great cooperation from the U.S. government. I should really say that. They've been very helpful, not only in COVID testing very early on in this outbreak, but making sure that as they roll these vaccines out to people in the United States, we have been, all the freely associated states in American Samoa and Guam have been included in that rollout. So we've gotten the same percentages, in some cases more, higher level of doses than a lot of places in the U.S. So we're really happy with how that's worked out.
And like you said before, you've been doing this vaccination rollout program since December. And you mentioned just before a couple of the logistical challenges in getting out to the more remote places and those hopes for perhaps the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that's just one dose. Have there been any other challenges that you've come up against in the last couple of months with this vaccine rollout?
Well, it's been very interesting. When we rolled it out, we on day one, which was December 9 for us, we did our Minister of Health. We had the Speaker of the Nitagella. We had a leader in the religious community and a traditional leader, and also the Chief Justice of the High Court as part of that rollout, along with myself and a lot of health workers. So we did a great rollout like that. But I think a lot of people initially, when we weren't going through the community door to door, we just had our clinic open here, and people were just sort of waiting to see how people reacted to getting the vaccines, because it's something brand new. And there was Facebook being what it is, there was a lot of rumors out there and things like that. So there was a lot of sort of what I would call wait and see. And then once that, we got over those initial few weeks and everybody got their vaccines and there were no big issues, then people started being very cooperative and getting the vaccine. So we're really happy with that. And I don't blame, this isn't mandatory for anybody. So this is all voluntary when people come in.
And you were saying just there that there was that inclusion early on of prominent figures being involved in the rollout. What was actually involved in that? Did people get to see them having the vaccine taken?
Oh, yeah. We had that live on. We have a Facebook thread that's, all the Marshallese, both in the U.S. and here in the Marshals, can hone in on. And it's like being on TV. And we had national radio and everything. So it was a big rollout. A lot of people were there. We had food and we made it into a big event. And that really helped a lot. And we were watching how other people were doing it, too, and saw some of their successes and failures. And we decided this was the best way to do it. And I thought it was really good that... like for myself going first on that first day, your Secretary of Health, if you're asking other people to get the vaccine, then maybe you should go first. At least that was what our thinking was at the time.
Like you say, there was that bit of wait and see from people to see as it's a new vaccine. They're not sure what's going to happen from it. So seeing those prominent faces take the vaccine, I'm sure, was reassuring. Is that something you think other Pacific Island states could learn from your experience in how to proceed when they also get the vaccine?
Yeah, I would highly recommend that. And I've seen that happening throughout some of the places, and especially in the Northern Pacific, who've already rolled it out. We all pretty much did it the same way. Our president and first lady came in a few days later after we did the initial vaccine, and we had a lot of very prominent figures. We had the entire parliament. We went over there and vaccinated them one day. So prominent figures are really important because you're basically – everything surrounding the COVID outbreak, to me, and the reason why we have been so successful here in preventing COVID, we've had 4 border cases, and we haven't had any of those since October. The reason why we've been so successful is you have this huge amount of cooperation throughout the community, the top leadership, what we call the National Disaster Committee, led by Chief Secretary Cuneau, and we also have our Ministry of Health here, and we've all managed to cooperate with everything. And so we've prevented COVID from coming in, and now we've been very successful in rolling out the vaccine. And cooperation, to me, is the absolute key critical element in getting this done the right way.
You're listening to Jack Niedenthal. He's the Marshall Islands Secretary of Health. Jack, there's a lot of talk about herd immunity, which the WHO has said could be achieved when more than 60% of a population is vaccinated. Is that going to be possible in the Marshall Islands?
We know that that's not going to be possible here because we have such a huge population of people who are 18 and under. They're talking about in the U.S. possibly having vaccine for kids 6 and over by September. We don't know that for a fact, but we have so many young people here. We don't think we can reach herd immunity, which is why we're trying to vaccinate so many adults. We still have some reluctance. The age group that's been most reluctant are the younger people from 18 to, say, 30. And they feel like, from everything they've seen, a lot of people in that age group doesn't have a bad reaction to the coronavirus. But what we're trying to get across to them is that they may not have, that may be true to some degree, but they can still spread it. And it's the same with children. Children have been known to spread this, they may be asymptomatic and not showing any signs of the disease, but they still can be spreaders. And as you know, in many places in the Pacific here, that the housing, there's a lot of people in every house. I mean, even my own house, I have, 7 or 8 people, and that's not a lot out here. So people are coming and going and going to work. In the Marshall Islands, we've lived a very normal life for the most part. I mean, there's no travel or anything, but our stores are open, the bars, the restaurants. We have gatherings. No one wears masks. We don't practice social distancing anymore because we've had such strict protocols. You have to understand that we have a 5-week protocol for people being repatriated here, 2 weeks in Hawaii and 3 weeks then on the military base on Kwajalein. Very strict, single key entry. You can't come out of your room. By the time you get out of these quarantine situations, you will have been tested 5 times along with an antibody test. And I've been apart from my family. They were stuck in the U.S. for, it'll be almost a year by next month, and they're currently in quarantine on Kwajalein, so I'm pretty happy right now. It's my wife, my daughter, and my brand-new grandson. But that's the only abnormal thing that we're seeing is there's a lot of people that will actually want to come back to the Marshals but can't because of our very strict protocols. We're only bringing in about 40 people a month.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful
That's been kind of sad.
Yeah, definitely. But wonderful that you were able to be reunited with your family. That's great. But I'm sure, like you say, there is quite a large population of Marshallese in the US and Marshallese citizens there. So, you know, that separation from family must be extremely hard. Here on Pacific Beat, we've reported previously on how the Marshallese in the US actually have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Do you know if those citizens are being provided any help to access the vaccines in the US?
We've been working really hard on that because one of the requirements, it's kind of interesting, one of the requirements from the U.S. government when we were first setting up getting the vaccines was they wanted to make sure that we were going to be giving vaccines to people of any nationality, which we are. It doesn't matter who you are here, you can come get a vaccine, any nationality. And so we're trying to press on the U.S. and those communities. We know where our large populations are in the U.S. We're trying to press upon them the idea that we have some communities there that are really high risk. And as you know, that's one reason why our protocols are so strict here. And there's a 5-week quarantine period, because we know if that disease got in here, we would be hit hard. And because our communities in Arkansas and Oregon and a lot of other places really got hammered. And believe me, when your family's out there in the U.S. and you watch this disease just rip through an apartment complex, like where my wife was living at the time, it is scary. We lost some relatives. Every family out here probably now can tell a story about one of their relatives that has died from COVID in the U.S. So we're really pressing on them. Every day we have a call. Again, I mean, every week we have a call, and I have another one today at 11 o'clock where we talk to the CDC and those officials in the U.S. All of us from here in the Freely Associated States are trying to press upon them the idea that our citizens, while they're, you know, maybe shouldn't be treated differently than everybody, but they're still higher risk. And those are the populations when you're given these vaccines that you should zero in on, because that would decrease the spread of the disease.